Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
How y'all doing? Good to see all y'all. Wow, great Wednesday's turnout. Fantastic. I told the ushers, there won't be as many as last week because we're not doing prophecy. But man, look, it's great. Praise the Lord. All right, real quick, all the classes are up and running again. So if there was a class you were attending, whether it be men's or women's or beneficial lifestyle, access, Club D2, they're all up and running. So if you want to attend any of those, awesome. And BCF has begun. This is your last Sunday to join in. After this next Sunday, I'm not taking any new because we're just in chapter one. It's kind of a beginning. So if you want to be a part of BCF, you will have to be there this Sunday to get involved. We have a great turnout, a lot of people taking the class, and I'm excited about that. Maybe you saw the picture on Facebook. With all that's gone on with the COVID, although we have a great turnout tonight, we had a great turnout both services Sunday, we do have opportunities to serve. There are some people who are not coming to church because they're a little nervous, and I get that, I understand. So there are opportunities all over to serve in just about every ministry. Our children's church has ample opportunity, and so does our sound ministry. Especially like our sound ministry, we just, Brent left. He moved away, and he was our main sound guy. So if you're interested in learning how to run sound, that'd be great. That's why it's a little different. I was up there helping with the sound and doing the live stream. Now we have two mixer boards, one for here and one for live stream. So listen, we have Apple on Ample and Apple. I don't know. If you sign up, I'll give you an Apple. How about that? Listen, Sunday, May 31st, write this down in your calendar. That is Pentecost Sunday. Now, I was already planning a month, or actually back before Easter. I was like, all right, Pentecost is coming. Last year and the year before on Pentecost, we had a special message and anointing and praying for people who want to have the infilling of the Spirit. Because as we know, in Acts chapter 2, that's on the day of Pentecost is when the church was birthed. Now, besides us having a special service, be in prayer, because a lot of churches in California are going to hold church service despite the fact that their governor wants to keep everything locked down. So be praying that that one, he just throws his hands up and says, let him eat cake, let him eat communion bread, whatever, that he allows the churches to go ahead and have service. It is so important. We know that. And obviously, y'all know that. So be in prayer for all our Calvary Chapel brothers and sisters, plus some other churches. I know there's some Baptist churches and just all kinds of churches. But, you know, Calvary Chapel is near and dear to my heart. So just cover them all. All the churches that are going to be open in California, be praying for them. All right. If you would, please open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, if you notice, we are going to do verse 19 through 25, six verses. But I'm telling you, they are packed with some weirdness. We're going to look at the bad situation, believing solution, brazen sacrilege, and brutal slaughter in these six verses. Now, I've entitled our message, A Hairy Situation, and you'll get the pun as we move through here, unless you're familiar already with the verse, and then you know where I'm going with this. But we have, what we have now is Elisha. Now, my wife was telling me the other day, we were talking about Elisha and Elijah, and she says, man, it got confusing. So she says, why don't you just call them Shah and Jah? So that's what I'm going to do tonight. So Elisha is Shah, and Elijah is Jah. So you'll know who I'm talking about. So Shah received a double blessing of Jah before Jah took off in a whirlwind. Okay. Now, I want you to hold this on your belt. All the prophets in two different cities, Bethel and Jerusalem, knew about Elijah. Jah being taken up. They told Shah before he was even taken up. And so they knew this would happen. So what cities? Bethel and Jericho. I said Jerusalem. Jericho. So hang that on your belt. Now, before we start digging into our new verses, let me pray. Father God, humble us in your presence, Lord. Worship is so good. Prayer is so wonderful. Fellowship is so sweet. And so tonight, as we dig into your word, although it may seem like some bizarre verses, Lord, I know that your word is alive and able to cut, able to separate, able to cleanse us of our sins. And so we're going to look at all of that tonight. And so, Father, may your word come alive to us this evening. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Shah has begun his ministry because Jah is gone. Now, as we look here at this bad situation in verse 19, we're going to see through these six verses, we're going to see a lot of analogy for the Word of God, pertaining to the Word of God. So keep that in mind as we look at these strange verses. Okay, verse 19. Then the men of the city said to Shah, please notice the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees. But the water is bad and the ground is barren. So then it says, then the men of the city said to Shah. They come to Shah, these men of the city, what city? Jericho. Okay, that's where they're at. They are seeking God's faithful prophet. Good thing. That is always what you want to do when there is an issue in your life. You want to seek God. And if you are having trouble, because listen, I know when I'm in a hairy situation, sometimes it's difficult for me to communicate to God because I'm so wrapped up in the craziness of my life. So the best thing to do is to go to someone that you know is more spiritual than you, that's going to turn you to the Word of God, that's going to seek God on your behalf to get some input. And here's the other thing. As they are seeking God's faithful prophet, the faithful prophet loves to be needed. Yeah, I love it. Prophets love to be used by God. There is something special when I have a counseling appointment and the person walks out and I know that they got it, that they heard, despite me, they heard from the Lord and it gave them some confidence in which direction to go. That is the best feeling in the world, and I love that. So the men of the city, it was wisdom for them, by the way, to use Shah as he's there in their presence. It was wisdom. He's there. He's local. He's in town. Might as well utilize what is right there before them. While his, and by the way, why not use him while his connection with God is at their disposal? And listen, they know he's connected with God. How? Well, everyone knew about the whirlwind that was going to take up Jah. And that Shah was there and that he asked for a double portion. And so he is truly connected with God. Everyone probably heard because there were people watching him. They're like, whoa, that was insane. And so they know that Shah is there and that he is connected to God and that it's a good thing. Now, it's interesting to note, by the way, Jah was just in the city. They didn't seek Jah. They only are now seeking Shah. That feels so weird. But you know who I'm talking about. We have our own little code going here. Listen, but here's the thing. Jah was not accessible. Shah is accessible. And we're going to see that as we go through here. But they needed interaction with God. You know, my wife and I don't know if you saw on Facebook, yesterday we went to do photos in that flat, deserty part between here and Vegas where all the sun things are. What do you call it? Solar panels. And on our way there, we were wondering if our Wi-Fi, the Wi-Fi to my drone, because you know that's a dead spot there, it's as far as connection. And her camera can talk to her phone. It's one of those highfalutin, rootin' tootin' cameras. And so she goes, well, that way she could hold it and go, tee, tee, we could do our posing. And we were both concerned as to whether or not there would be Wi-Fi if we'd have connection. And I thought about this. Shouldn't that be the same way Christians are? Shouldn't we be constantly aware of whether we are connected to God spiritually? But I think sometimes we're too busy searching for Wi-Fi, searching for a hotspot, that we never even give consideration to whether or not we are connected to the Lord God. We are so caught up in the newfangled gadgets that we forget about the oldfangled God, who is greater and more faithful and has more answers than Google. Now, I love this too. Elisha made himself available to the people. We're going to see that's his nature. He dwells with the people. Elijah didn't. He was a kind of obscure kind of gentleman. But shouldn't we, brothers and sisters, shouldn't we make ourselves available to the unbelieving world? We could be the only exposure they have to God. The only Wi-Fi connection to God that they have is through us. But if you're not connected, they can't get connected. They can't use you as a hot spot. You're a cold spot. Or just a spot. But here, we have the people of Jericho. They need water. They need water. Now, we have to understand, in an agrarian society where produce and livestock are premium, water is a commodity of God's mercy, His provision. Water was also a tool of His discipline. And we know that from Jah, right? Elijah, he prayed and the water stopped for 3.5 years because, the Israelites, the people, were worshiping Baal, the god of the weather. Yeah. Bing, bing, bing. Yeah, right. So in that situation, it was judgment. But when God provides water, it's a sign of His mercy and His grace. Just kind of like the living water of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get saved, it provides mercy and grace. But the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ can also bring judgment upon our lives. So interesting how God works that way. So notice this city, he says they come to Shah and they say, please notice the situation of the city is pleasant. Hey, look at our city. It's beautiful. It's pleasant. Looks great, right? Oh, this is a place I'd love to live. And they go, wrong. We got problems. May look good on the outside, but on the inside, mayday, 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 we're going down, mayday, red alert. Isn't that the way some lives are in the church? Some of our lives can look pleasant on the outside, but there's no life, no growth, no peace. These men are saying the same thing. They're saying, we have no peace. We have no growth. Look at our city. It looks great on the outside, but on the inside, we're dying. There are people that come to church, and they look good. Hey, brother, how are you? Oh, I'm great. Everything's awesome. But on the inside, they're dying. Why? Because the water that they're drinking is poison. And we'll look at that here as we move. You'll see what I mean. He says, please notice the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees. In other words, you can see. You can look at the city. It looks great. It's Jericho. Yeah, baby. But the water is bad, and the ground is barren. There's no produce. Nothing's being produced here. Nothing's growing. Looks good on the outside. But on the inside, there's no growth. Listen, oh my gosh, this can be true of a church. There's no form of water, godly water. But there's a form of water. It's just not good. See, they have water. They said the water we have, it's bad. You see, so he's looking, he's like, look, there's a big city, they got water, everything's great. And he goes, no, city's big, it's beautiful, but the water, it's killing stuff. We can't grow anything. There can be a big, beautiful church, but there's no water, there's no living word. It's barren. It's bad. Barren. It means nothing's growing. Listen, you can have a church that looks good, but there's false doctrine inside the church. It's poison. It could be good doctrine, but it could be good doctrine, but you're not living by the doctrine that you're teaching. That's bad. That's poison within the church. Here's what we know. Listen, we live in a desert. It's hot, but even in a dry land, in a hot desert, a little bit of clean water brings growth. It can rain for 5 minutes and you go out the next day and there's these new flowers budding. It's amazing. You know, sometimes we go hiking out in the desert and you think, oh, there's nothing in the desert. And there'll be this one lonely yellow flower just growing out of a crack. And you're like, wow, that is so cool. I took a picture of one the other day. That's why I'm thinking of it. Listen, the ground is barren. It's not going to do what they want the ground to do. They need the ground to grow so they can eat. They want the ground to grow with the seed that they've planted. Listen, good seed can be planted in people's hearts, but if it's watered with bad water, it can spring up and root quickly and then die. I see that happen all the time. I see people sprout up and you're like, ooh, this is good, this is good. And all of a sudden they start dying. Why? 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 I'll tell you why. Because they don't stay in good fellowship. They're not getting watered. Instead, they go out into the world and then their fellowship they have is with poison. And the fellowship that they should be bringing growth is actually killing their walk. We need good water. We need the good word. That's why, brothers and sisters, this is so important. Susan and I were talking about when this separation was, it was like a dagger. I was like, yeah, I can read the word, but it's good to be when we refresh one another, when we pour out. But the opposite is the same. If you leave here, if the church is full and you leave here and you go out into the world and what you have fellowship with is sin and poison, you will die out. You can look good on the outside. I go to church, I carry a Bible and be dying. Jesus put it this way, on the outside, whitewashed tombs, whitewashed, look white and clean. But on the inside, rotting dead men's bones. Wow. But I've seen good seed planted and die out because of poisonous water. And you'll see what I mean. That's what, by the way, that's what gets us into hairy situations. Stressful storms of life sometimes are caused by the people we stay connected with. Let's look at the believing solution in verse 20 through 22. So they said, hey, you see our city? Looks great, but there's poisonous water. It's so good. Nothing lives. Everything dies. And he said, bring me a new bowl. Verse 20. He said, bring me a new bowl. Put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of water and cast the salt there and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed the water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness. So the water remains healed to this day according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Now, take note. This is Shuz's first miracle. I want you to see the contrast. Shuz's first miracle, bring forth clean water. Elijah's first miracle, stop water. One brings water, one stops water. Shah was bald. We're going to see that here in a moment. Jah was hairy. Sasquatch. Shah is very public. Jah was reclusive. What a contrast. Yet both of them were men of God. Listen, we're not going to be cookie-cutter Christians. Tchung, Christian, tchung, Christian. Yes, we'll have the same mind, worship God, seek the Lord, but we're all unique and different. As long as we submit to God, God can use us. So he says, bring me a new bowl, a new vessel to put salt in it. Listen, he uses a new bowl. Why? He doesn't want it contaminated. He wants to just have pure salt. He don't want to make sure, oh, you bought me a bowl. Oh, there's oregano in there. It's like, I just said salt, you know. I'm not making quesadillas. Listen, you and I, when we come to the Lord Jesus cleanses us. He doesn't just cleanse us. He makes us a new vessel. He doesn't want you to bring any of that oregano of your life in here. No. In fact, Mark 2:22, Jesus says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins. He says, but new wine must be put into new wineskins. God wants to put a new spirit in you, so he makes you a new creature. Yes, he cleanses you, but you become a completely new creature when you are born again. We need the old out. We don't need to contaminate the new seed, the new spirit. The seed being the Word of God. You see, if I hang on to my old ways, if I'm out there doing drugs and I'm preaching the Word, I'm contaminating the Word of God. That's not good. We cannot contaminate. We should not contaminate. So he says what? Put salt in it. Put salt in it? What is that? How is that going to make good water? Well, listen, there is a picture that God is trying to paint for us here. Listen, God could have just had Elijah go clean water, and it's clean. He could have brought a ball of fire down from the sky and cleansed and said, there, he burned away. No, he is trying. God is not trying. He's giving us an analogy here. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 5:13? He said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Listen, you and I are to be good salt. We're to add season. You go, well how do I do that? But by the way, Pastor, I don't like preservatives even in my food. You don't like preservatives? Don't you realize you're a preservative? What? Yeah, you don't believe me? Here you go. Run around a little bit. Taste that? That's salty? You're the salt of the earth. That's his goal for you. But the problem is, and by the way, when you become a Christian, like when I run around and I sweat, it's sweet. It's really not. It's very, very salty. But here's the problem. If you or I or we lose our saltiness, there's a problem. There's a problem. Colossians 4:6 says this. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. Listen, my speech is to be graceful, seasoned with salt. What is the salt? The salt is the God's word in me, in you. Listen, when I go to God's word, not only am I gracious, but I have the answers to the questions or objections that you may have. It's found in the Word of God. So how, if I were to go up to you tonight, after tonight, and say, how do we season with salt? You should say, using the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God will preserve us eternally. Do you realize that? The Word of God is a preservative. When you take the word of God into your heart, you are now eternal. You'll never rust. You'll never, the worm will never eat you. You will not decay. You will not see the decay of the grave. You're preserved. So the word of God is a preservative. It's salt. That's what salt does. We need to get the word of God in us. Oh, we're going to look at that here in a moment. Psalm 121, verse 7. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. See, even God says that. I'm going to preserve you. Now, he's not going to pickle you into a jar. That's not our God. He doesn't do that. But he is going to preserve you eternally. And by the way, you get in a hairy situation where you feel like your life is unraveling. You want to know why? It's because you don't have the Word of God. Remember, Ephesians said, and you all know this, put on the full armor of God. The piece that every person tends to forget to put on is the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit. Why? You have the helmet. You know, you believe in Jesus. So that's the helmet, your brain, your thoughts, your ears. You know that Jesus, I've heard it. Jesus is Lord. I got it. My mouth, Jesus is Lord. The helmet of salvation there. But then you have the breastplate of righteousness. His righteousness, because you received him in your heart. Yay, you're doing good. Two pieces of armor. Way to go. And then you have your prayers. Thank you, Lord, for this Big Mac. And Biggie Fries. It's great. You sit there. You pray. Lord, I lay me down to sleep. Yay, you pray. You got your prayers. Lord, get me out of this jam. Get me out of this hairy situation. But you got your little pie pan. But what about the Word of God? Hey, are you reading the Word? Well, I guess I could do it more. That is why you lose. That is why you're defeated. That is why your life isn't feeling preserved. It feels like it's going stale, like your life is rotting. Why? Because you don't have the Word of God, which is that salt that adds flavor to our lives. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to see any of you fail. I want to see us all preserved by the Word of God. I want us in the full armor of God. I want us to be able to get ourselves out of every hairy situation. Don't you? Then hear me now. If you are losing the battle, it's because you're not picking up your sword. If you feel like your life is decaying, it's because you're not preserved with salt, the Word of God. So important. So he takes this new vessel, puts some salt in it. It's got a little maraca now. He goes over to the water and he pours it in. And it just falls into the water. And they're like, okay, now you want carrots, potatoes? What are you making, soup? But he doesn't say that. He says, thus says the Lord. Did you hear the Lord say anything? No, I saw you take a bucket, dump the salt. The salt is the Word of God. He's saying, thus saith the Lord, I've healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness. When you take your filthy life and you dump the Word of God into it, there is no more barrenness, no more death. God's Word heals. God's Word brings life. God's Word brings growth. And with all of that, you have peace. See, you have now the shield. You put on the Word. That's the belt of truth. Sword of the Spirit. Guess what's next? Shoes of peace. I don't have any peace. It's because you're running around with a helmet, breastplate, shield in your underwear and barefoot. How are you going to have peace in a battle like that? Nobody. The enemy's going, look at that clown. Running around in his skivvies with a helmet and breastplate. That's just silly. But then you put on that sword and that belt, and now you have shoes of peace. If you don't have peace in your life, here's my question. How's your time in the Word of God? Oh, not too good, Pastor. That's your problem. I don't have victory in my life. How's your time in the Word of God? No, too good. That's your problem. You want the solution to your problem tonight? I just gave it to you. What is it? What? Let me hear it. Amen. I love it. I love it. It'll get you out of those hairy situations. And remember this. Who is the Word made flesh? Jesus. We just sang. His name is Jesus. The King of my heart. Is He the King of your heart? Then get into the Word and get to know the one you say you're in love with. And then watch as victory. Watch as your life is more savory. Not just to you, but to others around you. When you trust Him, it changes the water that comes from within us. From deadly poison to living water. And that's why in John 7:38, this is what Jesus said. The living Word says this. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow living water. Not poisonous junk. Before I was saved, all that came out of my mouth was poison, sin, profanity, anger, pride. Just add to the list. And I'm venturing to say the same is true for you. But not once you give your life to Jesus. Not once you put that salt and He goes, ooh, you're a new vessel, put some clean salt in there. Water all clean. Yum, yum. When I have living water coming from my life, that's when I can help to bring life to others. You see how that works? That's why in Isaiah 55:11 he says this. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It won't be barren. The land that his water, good water, is poured out on will not be barren. But it shall accomplish what I please. Listen to this. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Is your life not feeling prosperous? I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about prosperous, joy unspeakable, no matter what the circumstances are. Listen, it's because you don't have His Word in you. Get His Word in you, and all of a sudden, prosper. Little yellow flowers start to grow on you. This is a beautiful thing. It's a really beautiful thing. Verse 22. Notice he says, so the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Shah, which he spoke. Notice this. Elisha, he doesn't take the credit unto himself. Even though he spoke the words, he's like, hey, thus saith the Lord. I don't have anything to do with it. He told me, get a pot that's clean. He said, put some salt in it. This isn't just for you guys. I'm not talking about the people in the from Jericho. Jericho people, this isn't just for you. This is for the people over at HBC in a couple thousand years. So that they understand the importance of God's word. So let's just do this. Follow along. You'll get, follow the bouncing ball. You'll figure this out. And he poured it in. Now, Jericho, I went there. It was awesome. It was neat to actually stand in Jericho. Jericho is 13,000 feet below sea level. It's the lowest place on earth. It's right by the Dead Sea. If you know about the Dead Sea, there's so much minerals that is poisonous to any kind of sea life. Nothing's living in it. Nothing at all. And that's probably very similar to what they had. Now, I couldn't imagine going up to the Dead Sea with a couple of packets of salt and going, it's all better, adding more minerals to it to make it clean. That's just wild. But that's what he did. And he said this. The Lord healed it according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke, and the water remains healed to this day. Listen, when we went to Jericho, there's the well of Elisha there. And guess what? You can drink the water. It's still clean to this day. You know what that tells me? If you are saved, you're saved for eternity. It's forever. When God heals, you stay healed. You don't go, oh, God healed me. Oh, I'm not healed anymore. I'm going to hell. Doesn't work that way. But I've done some bad things. Well, then repent and get right with God. But once you are saved, once you surrender your life, you don't just turn back into the Dead Sea. You're alive. There's a little fishy swimming inside you. Once saved, you remain saved. That's the point. Let's look at the brazen sacrilege. Now, this is weird. Okay, if that wasn't weird enough, it's about to get really funky. Watch. Let's look at verse 23. And he went up from Bethel. He went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up the road, some youth came from the city and mocked him and said, "Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head." Now, if you fit that description, I'm sorry. It's a weird piece of scripture. I'm not trying to body shame you. Just reading the scripture here. Let's remember a couple of things. At Bethel, there was another school of prophets. Remember, I told you to hang it on your belt that all the prophets in two cities, Jericho and Bethel, he was just in Jericho, and he cleans the water with the weird ritual that pointed us to the Word of God. But now he's gone into Bethel, or he's on his way to Bethel, and that, both these prophets, both these cities had school of prophets, had Bible colleges. And all the people in that Bible college knew, they told Elisha, they told Shah that Jah was going to be taken up. So no doubt, it's important to know this, the city of Bethel, the people heard about what happened with the whirlwind and the chariot of fire and that whole deal. And they all know about Jah and they all know Shah. And Shah is on his way to the city. And there's a group that is from there. In Bethel, one of Jeroboam's golden calves was there. They worshipped Baal, the worst, most demonic false god there is. And the people were proud of it. They would worship it. They loved it. And they hated anyone who would reprove them of the sin that they loved so much. They hated him. Now, that's what would happen. There was a school of prophets, a Bible school. So no doubt, in the Bible school, the men, the prophets of God, would tell them, "Stop this. You're blaspheming God." And so they didn't like that. So it was their usual practice to mock the prophets. Any prophet that was walking along the street, they would call him names and express contempt for them. And in doing this, both adults, the young people of that city, would follow suit. You listen, I can know a lot about you by talking to your teenagers. If you don't want me to know about you, don't let your teenager spend the night at my house. One talk over the dinner table, I'll know. I'll know your political standing, your biblical standing. I ask the right questions. So this, what we're about to see, is not the first offense. This wasn't a first offense. This is just the time it's recorded for us. Notice it says, some youth came from the city. Now, if you have an NIV, it says some boys came out of the city. If you have the New Living Translation, it says a group of boys from the town began. But if you have the Message Bible, it says some little kids came out of the town. And you go, what's the big deal? Well, in a moment, Elisha is going to sic two bears to rip these kids to shreds. And you go, what? The idea that most people have is that some, you know, 7 and 8 year olds, "Hey, go up, you bald head. Go up, you her bald head. I curse thee." Rawr, bears come and chop them up. But that's not true. This term is actually the same exact term is used for Joseph when he was 39 in Genesis 41:12. It was used for Absalom when he was an adult in 2 Samuel 14, 21 and 18:5. It was used for Solomon when he was 20 in 1 Kings 3:7. So when you hear this, please don't picture this. Most likely from like, you know, 16-year-olds up to maybe, you know, 28-year-olds. But they're called teens. They're young. Very young. They're called young people. But notice what they call, what they say to him. You go, what's the big deal? Go up, you ball head. That's not so harsh, right? I've been called worse by teens. I've heard teens call me, you butthead, and no chihuahuas came and nipped at their ankles. I was like, not even a chihuahua, let alone a bear. They call me worse than ball head. They call me butthead. They'd be right, but that's not the point. The idea, though, behind this saying that they're saying to him is that we don't need a prophet of God here. Why don't you leave? In fact, why don't you go up just like Jah did? Why don't you leave? He's gone. Why don't you go with him? Why don't you have a whirlwind? In fact, they probably don't even believe it. They weren't there. Oh, we heard the stories of your God coming and taking him. Why don't you leave with him? They're mocking him. Get out of here. We have Baal. That's what they're saying. We don't want you to come into our town. Remember, he's on the way into town. They come out of the town, and there's 42 of them. Basically, these are hoodlums. This is a gang, a street gang, if you will. And I would say this. For Shah, he's in a hairy situation, even though he's hairless. But those teens don't realize they're about to be in a hairy situation. Let's look at the brutal slaughter in verse 24 through 25. So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse. Now, by the way, they didn't have profanity like we do today. This is not that he cursed at them. He pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods, mauled 42 of the youth, then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. I was like, what? They said, you're a bullhead. He curses them. Two female bears come rip 42 of them. There could have been more. We just know of 42 of them. And then he just goes, oh, okay. And he travels away to Mount Carmel and then on, like, as if nothing ever happened. This seems over the top, doesn't it? Yeah. Two big old bears. It gives a whole new meaning to a hairy situation when they're two big old bears. But notice it says this. So he turned around and looked at them. A holy zeal from a man of God, the kindling in his heart of anger. Why? Well, because they're mocking. They're continuing to mock him. They're mocking his mentor, and they're mocking the living God. Trust me, Elisha is livid. There is such a thing as righteous indignation. But can I warn you? You can't get mad at your spouse and say, hey, that was righteous indignation. You better be careful about that. You can't get mad at your neighbor or your kids. Say, that's righteous indignation. You cannot do that. You better be careful that if you are truly expressing anger, that it's sanctioned by God. Or you could find yourself in a hairy situation. So, Shah is about to give them the word of God. Notice he turned around and looked at them. I think he may have even glared at them. But of course, as you know, sometimes when you glare at a youth, they just glare right back as if to dare you. This is a bad time. But he's going to give them the word of God. And you're like, wait, he pronounced a curse. Hold on, we'll get there in a moment. But he's going to give them the word of God. Why? Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. I have salt in my heart to cleanse me of my sin. I keep your word in my heart. So what can cleanse a filthy heart of a young man or young woman? The word of God. That salt in, from a new vessel into a new vessel. So important. So he turned and he looked at them, pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. But notice this, he doesn't curse them. He pronounces a curse in the name of the Lord. In other words, the correction is up to God. He says, I curse you. He didn't say, he didn't go, I call some bears down to eat your victuals. He didn't do that. He called upon the Lord. But they have no fear. See, that's the problem. If you are here today and you don't fear God and His power, if you don't reverence His word, you're in a hairy situation. You're in deep trouble. Because God will show you. Because He loves you that much. But not only that, Psalm 105, 15 says, do not touch my anointed one. Do my prophets no harm. And 1 Timothy 5:17 in the New Testament says this, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. So here, Elisha, he labors in the word. He's traveling all around. He's being a blessing. That's his goal. Healing their water so they have water to drink. Being an example of what it means to seek God and the blessings that come. And all they can do is mock him. He looked at them and pronounced a curse in the name of the Lord. You would think they would go, ooh, don't curse me. Your God is powerful. Your God takes up men in whirlwinds and brings fire in chariots. The guy they took up, he destroyed 450 prophets of Baal. Brought fire from heaven. You guys are the real McCoy. You know what? Don't curse us. They could have repented. Please don't curse me, Mr. Clean. Don't do it. They could have ran home and said, listen, Vin Diesel's dad just tried to curse me. They don't do that. Instead, they stand there looking at him, mocking his bald head, and saying, you get out of here. We don't need prophets from that God. We have Baal. That's what they're doing. And so he's trying to give them the word of God in a powerful way. They obviously don't care, so he's giving it to them in a way that is almost threatening. Sometimes, it's very rare, sometimes I have to give someone both barrels. I hate that. But I'd rather do that than to see you mauled by sin. People don't like me when I do that. But I don't care. God loves it when I do that. I like what John Stott says. He said this, we must allow the word of God to confront us, to disturb our security, to undermine our complacency, and to overthrow our patterns of thoughts and behavior. Wow. That's what he's trying to do for these kids. I say kids, for these young men and women. We're not told that they're all men or all men. They could be men and women. It just says some youth. Young people. But look at this situation. Two female bears come out of the wood and maul 42 youths. And there's a lot right here. We're going to pick it apart. We got a little bit of time.
Good.
Two female bears. Why would the Bible give us this gender detail? Listen, if you get attacked by a 20-foot crocodile, I'm not going to say, well, thank God it wasn't a female crocodile. It's still a crocodile. What difference does it make if it's male or female? Well, in the case of bears, female bears are very aggressive when they have their cubs nearby. Maybe that is the reason why God points out that they're female bears. Because male bears just want to sit around and watch ESPN. But the women bears, they're very protective of their babies. Now, there's something else here. Think about it. Two bears, 42 people. That's 21 people per bear. That's a lot of people. That's, well, we're probably a little more than that, but that's probably like 20 people right there. Throw those, there you go, right there. That's one bear worth of people. Y'all look tasty. I think a bear would enjoy y'all. No, I'm just... But listen, think about it. 42 people, two bears. Listen, I get it. The first guy and the second guy. Even the third guy. Oh, look. Bobby's getting mauled. Oh, Timmy got mauled. Now Frank, too. Oh, Frank got it worse. You're not just going to stand by while two bears go to town on your buddies. Why did they let it get up to 42 people before, if there were any left, they ran? Well, that's where knowing the geographic location helps. What you talking about? Well, let me explain. Being there at Jericho, one of the things you notice is it's a very rocky area. There are a lot of crags, rocky crags, you know, sharp edges. They go up along the road. There's just this wall. Well, imagine if, because that's where Elijah was walking down the road. Here they come. This side is a wall. And by the way, right now, if you go over there, it's not like a woody area. But back at this time, may have been quite different. A lot of landscapes change over time. But these two bears could have easily trapped 42 people in a little cragged area on the side of the road. With only one direction to go, pretty aggressive bear, they could have been caught in a corner. And what do you do if something's attacking? You move back. Now you're against the wall. Now you're piling on each other. I could see where 42 people could not get away. And it would take two bears. One from this side, one from that side. You got 42 people trapped. But you still got to say, but Pastor Randy, I'm sorry. But God killed 42 young hoodlums? Well, the word in Hebrew for mauled is bekah. Bekah means to tear up, to rip. It also means this, to split or divide. It does not mean to kill. So some say, oh, he killed. No, no, they mauled him. It means he might have just sliced him. That's enough, though. Bit him on the leg, chunked him around a little bit. But they were not killed. But they were taught a valuable lesson. A hard, painful lesson. When you and I don't heed the warning in God's word, we often learn very hard, painful lessons. When we don't take in the word of God, when we don't let it correct us. Here's what Charles Spurgeon said. Sharper than any double-edged sword, a sword with two edges, has no blunt sides. It cuts both ways. The word of God is edge all over. It is alive in every part. And in every part need to cut the conscience. It's keen to cut the wound, cut the conscience and wound the heart. Depending on it, not a verse in the Bible is superfluous. Not a chapter is useless. Every part can cut. Every part can slice. And you go, that doesn't sound good. No, it does. Because it cuts away sin. It slices away any kind of depraved ideas in our lives in order for us to not get into those hairy situations. So important. These young kids, I say kids, these young men and women, 16 to maybe 28, they were not cut by the word, but they ended up getting cut by a bear. Listen, if you and I are not cut by the word, we'll get cut by the life that's out in the world that doesn't care about your feelings. It just wants to gobble up your life. It just wants you not to worship the true and living God. Worship something else. Sex, drugs, material things, position. You do that, the world goes, yeah, get closer. Shing, shing, shing. cut your life to shreds. Oh, you can look good on the outside, but inside there's rotten water. Rotten water. Listen, what are you going to do tonight? As we looked at these six simple verses, simple but deep, deep but meaningful, and all of this points to the fact that we need the Word of God to bring life, to purify us, and also to keep us from getting sliced up. We can let God change us, or you can let this life rule you. Which is it going to be? Are you going to tell me to go up, you bald head? Well, you, good luck with that. Go up, you big round head. I don't know what you'd say to me. How about if we do this? How about if we do this? How about if we let the Word cut where it needs to cut? Right? Why don't we go up to heaven cleanly shaven from all the sin of this world? Why don't we avoid some hairy situations by staying close to the Lord? You agree? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Oh God, your Word is so powerful on so many levels. And Lord, we know this, that you love us enough that you gave your Son the living Word. You give us the Holy Spirit to wash us on the inside. And you give us the Word of God to cut away any cancerous sin that may linger. Father, may we allow tonight your Word to cut us to the core. The Word of God, that double-edged sword that's sharper, that cuts, Lord, down to the soul. God, change us. Make us vessels fit for clean water. Lord, cleanse us. Make us salty, Lord, to give this life savor and flavor. May we preserve those who are around us by giving them the Word of God. And may we see our own souls preserved as we yield to you, Lord. God, I'm so sorry the times I don't let your Word cut, where I resist your scalpel, Lord. God, you're the good physician. You're the good doctor. You know what sins I need out of my life in order to be useful in your hand. God, I want your blessings. God, I don't want to be found in situations where I'm overrun or I have no peace. And Lord, I don't want that for any of my brothers and sisters here tonight. God, if anyone here tonight or anyone out on Facebook or YouTube is feeling like you're being overrun in your life, where's the victory, Lord? If we're not picking up our sword, if we're not taking in that salt, we're to blame, not God. He's given us the tools to victory. And so, God, I pray that tonight would be the night that we all recommit our desire to take in your Word, to believe your Word, to live your Word, and to be changed by your Word. Lord Jesus, we so adore you. Father God, we worship you. Holy Spirit, we need you. And we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand and sing one last song.